Today, I have an incredibly special guest with me, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as many of you will know, is a presidential candidate. And this conversation is incredibly important for so many reasons. Firsthand at My Clinic Live, we see the burden of chronic disease and we see it in the statistics across the nation. I believe that it's one of, if not the most important issues of our time, really healing people and creating a system that helps people live healthier lives. We shouldn't have to pay more to not be poisoned. We shouldn't have to have a full-time job of just figuring out how to be healthy. And that has to start from the top. So today, I just asked him a few questions on policy changes he would make. And the way that you vote is incredibly important. I hope to stay in touch with Mr. Kennedy and discuss at length and further in the future his potential policies and thoughts on really pressing issues. But I hope that you enjoy the conversation. This actually took place prior to a luncheon that myself and my partner Bobby George hosted at an organic non-GMO restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio called Town Hall that Bobby owns. And so there's a bit of noise in the background, but it's an amazing few questions nonetheless. So stay tuned and I hope you enjoy the conversation.
And what I'll do as president is I'll deploy NIH immediately to find out what it is. And then all of those things that are causing it, I'll eliminate.
All right, Mr. Kennedy, it is such a pleasure to have you here with me today. We're in Cleveland, Ohio at Town Hall, and something that you've done that I love so much is really fought against chemicals in our food system. You had a lawsuit against Monsanto. So what are your thoughts on the chemicals in the food system and how would you approach removing them or improving our food system?
I'm going to do everything that I can to get chemicals out of food. We have a chronic disease epidemic in this country, which is probably our single largest issue. When I was a kid, 6% of people of Americans had chronic disease. Today, as of 2006, 54% of American children had chronic disease. And the NIH is not telling us how many have now, but I'm sure it's much more. We may have 60% of our kids having chronic disease. And by chronic disease, I mean, one, obesity, which is devastating Americans right now, but three other categories. One, neurological diseases like ADD, ADHD, speech delay, language delay, tics, Tourette syndrome, narcolepsy, ASD, autism. The autism rates have gone from 1 in 10,000 in my generation to 1 in every 34 children today. Something's causing that. Then there's autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile diabetes. All of these diseases suddenly appeared around 1989 and became epidemic. Crohn's disease, etc. And allergic diseases like peanut allergies, gluten allergies, eczema, anaphylaxis, asthma. All of these diseases became epidemic around 1989. Something changed, and we know it's a chemical exposure, or an environmental exposure, because genes don't cause epidemics. Something else is causing it, and of course, one of the major culprits are these chemicals in our foods. Chemicals like glyphosate, which is from Roundup, which is now ubiquitous, neonicotinoid pesticides, atrazine, all of these other pesticides that are in our foods, and also the GMOs. We have no idea. We're conducting a mass experiment on humanity now, and particularly on our children. And it's destroying our country, and we are the most, our country has had a greater use of chemicals than any of the other developed nations because the European nations regulate it much more carefully and regulate GMOs much more carefully. But our country has the highest chronic disease burden in the world. We have the sickest children. We have the least healthy generation in our history. And we also have the most chemical contaminants. And, we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of the thing. We need to quickly identify, and this is what I'll do as president, instead of having NIH develop drugs for the pharmaceutical industry, which is what it's doing with its $42 billion annual budget now, I'm going to make NIH figure out why we're having chronic disease epidemic and identify the contaminants. And, you know, listen, there's a guy called Phil Landrigan, who is a very famous toxicologist. I've used him a lot of my trials and, you know, on different toxins. He's at Cedars-Sinai in New York, or Mount Sinai in New York, rather. And he did a paper, which he's done actually a couple studies saying, what is it? What happened beginning 1989? What are the chemical exposures that affected every American from, you know, from Cubans in Key Biscayne to Inuit in Alaska, and that is causing all of these problems? And he narrowed it down to about 11 different possible exposures. And there are a lot of the ones that I mentioned, also PFAS's, which are, you know, PFOAs, which are these forever chemicals that are in flame retardants, etc. And cell phone radiation or RF radiation. So we know it's an environmental exposure. And what I'll do as president is I'll deploy NIH immediately to find out what it is, and then all of those things that are causing it, I'll eliminate.
I love it. I mean, honestly, I think this is one of the most important issues of our time, because you're right, chronic disease is just skyrocketing. But when it comes to the entire system, so obviously the medical system is a really big issue here as well, because it's not made to heal people, right? So we have food that's not healing people or making people better. So how do we fix the entire circle?
Well, I mean, we need to get the pharmaceutical industry and the food processing industry out of NIH and out of HHS. These are, you know, the regulatory agencies have been captured by the industries they're supposed to regulate. They're the industries that are poisoning us. And NIH should be an independent, and CDC and FDA should be independent agencies. They should not be working for the chemical companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and the oil industry. They should be working for the American people and keeping us safe. And that is not their function anymore. These companies profit on a sick population. They profit on chronic disease. We spend $4.3 trillion on healthcare in our country. We spend far more per capita than any other country in the world, and we have the worst health outcomes. So we're 79th in terms of health outcomes, but behind Mongolia and Cuba and Costa Rica. And we ought to have the best health care. We pay the most. Why don't we have the best? Well, one of the reasons is the chronic disease burden. 80% of our health care dollars go to treating chronic disease. Oh, you know, people are wondering, how do we reduce health care costs? The way that we do that is by making healthier Americans. Absolutely. And that's what my job is going to be as president.
It's so important, because we recently, in the last few years, instead of prioritizing health, we thought there was another kind of holy grail, we'll just say, without going too deep into it. But that's amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the lawsuit that you won with Monsanto? Because I don't think people actually understand how the food system is controlled exactly. They own the seeds, they own the pesticides, and then they have so much power politically.
Yeah, so Monsanto, you know, it's a company that I feel like I've been fighting my entire life. If my life were a Superman comic, Monsanto, it would be Lex Luthor. Because I met my uncle, my President Kennedy arranged for me to meet Rachel Carson when I was a little boy, who was fighting DDT. Her book, Silent Spring, inspired the environmental movement in this country, and Earth Day 1970. And my uncle went to bat for her because she was under attack by Monsanto. Monsanto invented all of these instrumentalities for destroying scientists who challenged their mercantile ambitions, and for promoting, you know, bought and paid for science by these, these mercenary biostitutes that they, you know, began creating. They developed all the strategies, the blueprints, that the tobacco industry later used. But And DDT ultimately was banned in 1973 in our country, and that was their flagship product. That's where their revenues came from, and they needed a new product. And somebody had had figured out that there was a scalant for tanks, for, you know, metal tanks that to get rid of calcification on the inside and rust. And that's why glyphosate was invented. But somebody threw some of it out in the yard one day and saw that it killed all the plants. And Monsanto said this could be a great herbicide that will replace DDT as our flagship. And so for the first 20 years, glyphosate was sprayed from backpacks onto weeds by men who had walked the corn rows, during the early part of the season, and spray the weeds while they were still competing with the growing corn. Later on this season, the corn was high and they didn't have to worry. And in 1993, Monsanto invented something new. They took a gene out of a microbe that was immune to glyphosate, and they implanted that gene in a corn seed and the corn in a corn kernel, and the corn then became immune to glyphosate. So now they could fire all of those workers with their backpacks and fly airplanes over the cornfields, which was much cheaper, and saturate the entire landscape with glyphosate, and it would kill anything green except for the corn. And that's called Roundup Ready Corn, and it quickly dominated the marketplace. 85% of the corn, or 95% probably now in this country, is Roundup Ready Corn, and they own the seeds. That means the farmer cannot keep the seeds over, throughout at the end of the season the way they used to. They have to buy new seeds every year from Monsanto. And then in 2006, Monsanto developed glyphosate, or Roundup Ready corn, Roundup Ready barley, Roundup Ready sorghum, Roundup Ready soy, but not wheat. But in 2006, they discovered that if you sprayed the Roundup on wheat at the end of the season, it would dry out the wheat, and even if there was a rainstorm, you could still harvest it and it wouldn't get moldy. And that was one of the big threats to farmers, that there'd be a rainy season at the end, during the harvest season, and the wheat would all go bad. So Monsanto recommended that you spray as a desiccant glyphosate on the wheat just before you harvest it. And that started in 2006 and it became very popular and now accounts for most glyphosate sales. But for the first time, they're now spraying it, instead of spraying at the beginning of the season on weeds, they're now spraying it on the food at the very end of the season, just before it's eaten. That was 2006, and that's the year that all of these gluten allergies started, these celiac allergies and everything else. And it's highly likely, although we don't know for sure, that that's coming from the glyphosate on the corn. I mean, on the wheat.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Kennedy, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate your work, and thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you very much, Kayla. Good to meet you.
You too.
See you.
Hacking was created and is hosted by Kayla Barnes. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and views expressed on this podcast are not medical advice. This podcast, including Kayla Barnes, does not accept responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of the information contained herein. Opinions of their guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. If you think you have a medical issue, consult a licensed physician.